Thank you, Rob. Great job. You did a great job introducing today. I just think it's great. Everybody good today? Good. Well, I am excited about the Word of God today more than I have been, and I've been pretty excited for the last several weeks. And I just feel like God's opening, unlocking some things for us today. And when I'm finished today, I think there's going to be some of you who are listening who's going to say, well, you know, that just seems too good to be true. But it is true. God is a good God. I've titled this message, A River of Righteousness. It's amazing to me how many people want to talk about a stream, want to talk about a creek, want to talk about a spring, just a small thing that righteousness is, and put it in a context where it just trickles down and that kind of thing. But if I can get you to understand and comprehend the righteousness of God, the righteousness of God is a river that is flowing to each of us. Matter of fact, it's flowing to this world. The righteousness of God allows us many, many things. You know, sometimes we see things a certain way, and I'm wrestling with seeing this the way it needs to be seen, just like some of you are going to wrestle with it as I begin to share it. But sometimes we see a thing a certain way, and then something happens in our life and causes us to see something altogether differently. You know, we thought it was this way and we believe this, but then all of a sudden we get a phone call or something happens or something transpires, and all of a sudden our belief system is enlarged and our capacity is changed. And, you know, sometimes we go through shakings, I guess I would say. I think the earth right now, the world, we're going through some shaking, and that's why confidence is so important. A lot of people have lost confidence in their walk with God. A lot of people have lost confidence in their ability to know and understand what God's up to or what He's doing. But let me assure you something. God's okay. He isn't shook up. He isn't worried that He's not going to be able to fulfill His plan and purpose with planet Earth. And listen to me, He's not worried or shook up about you. He has confidence in you. Listen to me say this. Confidence, our confidence, needs to be in a person, but not ourselves. Our confidence needs to be in the Lord Jesus Christ and His ability to do what needs to be done. So today, I'm wanting to give you a biblical posture that will allow us to embrace all of the changes that are coming our way. Lord, just open up our hearts today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 1, Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus is coming. This is the second gospel, Matthew, Mark. And Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And in verse 15, here's what He was saying. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. You know, I've been doing this series on believe, belong, behave. He says here, believe in the gospel. Now, the kingdom is at hand. Let me make this statement. The kingdom of God, as Rob stated, can't be shaken. It can't be shook up. The church can get shaken, but the kingdom can't be shaken. In the book of Colossians chapter 3, verse number 11 says this, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. He's talking about here putting on the new man, and the new man in this new man who has been born from above, born of the Spirit of God. When you believe in the finished work of Jesus and you are born from above, there is no divisions. He makes a level playing field. Notice this in Romans chapter 10. Romans 10 verse 12 says, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call on his name. Now, I want to kind of introduce this by showing you the difference between Old Testament righteousness and New Testament righteousness. Now, I hope I can bring this in a way that you have ears to hear. In the Old Testament, you would respond to the law of Moses to become righteous. In other words, you had to behave to be righteous. I talked about that 2 weeks ago. It was responding to the law and keeping the commandments is what made you righteous. This is called the righteousness of the law. The law endeavored to make one righteous. That was Old Testament. But in the New Testament, listen carefully to this, we are made righteous by God's own act. It's not what we do, it's what God has already done. In other words, when we are born again, we belong to God, we're born from above, the kingdom of God comes and takes up residence on the inside of us. We are born from above, and the good works that follow the righteousness that is a result of the new birth, the things that we do come by faith alone. It's not by what you do, it's by believing. You've got to believe in order to belong. Now, I've said that, and I can look around the room, and I can look to those who are listening at the moment, and I think we all believe we understand that. The difference in Old Testament righteousness and New Testament righteousness, and we believe we understand that. I'm not sure we do. I think we do, but I'm not sure we totally understand it. Let me try to make a distinguishing factor. That when these two distinctions, Old Testament righteousness and New Testament righteousness, when they get reversed or when they get confused, let me say it like this. When you begin to think that you've got to do something to stay righteous, you're confusing what righteousness is. When you begin to believe that I got to do better and you begin trusting on I got to do, I got to do, I got to do, then you are confused about how Old Testament righteousness and New Testament righteousness operates. If I could say it to you like this, when these two distinctions are reversed or confused, we lose the meaning of the phrase, listen to the phrase, the righteousness of God. See, it's not the righteousness of Stu. You hear me? It's not the righteousness of Lou, even though that rhymes, Stu and Lou rhyme. It's not the righteousness of Andrew, Stu, Lou, and Andrew. Trying to keep it all together here. I was going to say Rob, but it doesn't rhyme. Now watch. In Romans chapter 1, you know, every time I know I'm going to take a verse of Scripture and just change your theology, it's kind of frightening, okay? But just watch for a moment. Romans 1, verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, but also for the Greek." Now, I've read this where there's no difference. He makes a level playing field. It's not Jew one thing, Gentile. It's not Jew and Greek. It's a level playing field. And he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation." I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Let me ask you a question. Here's what we've said this says. We've said that this means that the Apostle Paul was saying, "I'm not embarrassed to go witness to my neighbor. I'm not ashamed of the gospel." That's what we've taught this to say. That's not what Paul is saying here. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel because the gospel is the power for me to live." And the good news, the gospel, is that the righteousness of God is a gift to you. That's what it says. Now follow me here just a moment. Paul is saying, let me read verse 17. We'll read 16 and 17 again. Put 16 back up. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it," the gospel, "the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith," not from work to work, "from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." I believe what the Apostle Paul is saying here. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because I want you to see how I live it. It's the gospel that gives me the right to live by faith, and it's faith in God. The just shall live by what? Faith. The just shall not live by doing it right. The just do not live by saying it right. The just does not live by working it right and doing it right. The just shall live by faith. Now watch. Active righteousness, passive righteousness. That probably could be one of the titles of this sermon today. Active righteousness and passive righteousness. Let me say it like this. Active righteousness is what I do to become righteous. Do you know what I do to become righteous? Believe. That's it. Well, now, Pastor Farley, do you think that's the only thing you do to be righteous? Yeah, I do. I think it's the only thing that I do to be righteous is believe and put my faith and my trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. That's what I'm believing. He did it for me. That's what it is. Now, active righteousness is what I do to become righteous, and all I do is believe. Now, passive righteousness. Listen to this. Here's what passive righteousness is. Is what has been done for me and in my behalf. I'm not active in that. I'm not active in what has been done for me because it's already been done. Jesus, who knew no sin, took my sin so that I could become the righteousness of God. See, that's the phrase I'm after, the righteousness of God. I'm not after, are you listening? I'm not after your righteousness. I'm after the righteousness of God. I don't want you to be pleased with your righteousness. I want you to receive the righteousness of God. So active righteousness is what I do to become righteous. Passive righteousness is what has been done for me. Now, I got to say this. Those of us who have lived active righteousness all our life, we were raised in a church where you had to live right. You didn't have to live right to be saved, but once you got saved, then you had to, all the work became your responsibility. Those of us who've been raised in active righteousness all our life are always trying to do something to be in the presence of God. I mean, we talk about this around people I love, and we talk, it's just something that's there. I mean, it's stuff like, I'll tell you what, I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to conquer this thing. I'm going to overcome it. I'm going to make this thing happen. I'm really going to serve God. I mean, I can remember saying, God, I just want you to know that now, since I've been saved, you've got a servant who really, 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 really is going to obey you in everything we do. I just want you to know I'm going to do it, man. I've dedicated my dedications. I've consecrated my consecrations. I've done things and done my best to live with my faith and my confidence in me. I know some of you, that's not you, but you know, you all have been perfect. All we have to do is ask you and you'll say, well, I haven't had that problem. I've got it all together. Yeah, having it all together makes you trust in you. In Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians 2, verse 8, you all have heard this, but just listen carefully to the scriptures I'm going to read here in the next few moments. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of yourselves. Some of y'all don't remember this, but back when we had the LP records, the albums, and you would play an album, sometimes when the album would get old, it would get stuck, and it would go like this. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of yourselves, not of yourselves, not of yourselves. Listen to what he says here. It is a gift of God. Listen to me. The righteousness of God is God's gift of righteousness to him who believes. That's what it is. That's what it says. Now, it's not of yourselves. That's active righteousness is what you do. It's a gift. In other words, it's passive righteousness. It's God's gift of righteousness, not my gift of righteousness. Over in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy 1, verse 9, watch what this says. Knowing this, everybody say, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. Now everybody stop and listen to me. If you've been born again and you are born from above, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The law that you lived under in the Old Testament, the trying to do it yourself that was put on you, is not for you any longer. It's not for a righteous man. Watch this. But for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, it goes on. Fornicators, it just goes on and on. But the point that I'm trying to get you to see is simply this. We're not righteous because of our own works. In Hebrews, the 9th chapter, Hebrews chapter 9, I'm going to read you several verses of scripture here, but I want to just reconfirm what I'm saying. Verse 9 says, it was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, watch this, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. Concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Listen to that, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Listen to what verse 9, listen to this. It says, the gifts and the sacrifices cannot make you perfect. I'm going to deal with something. A couple of weeks ago, I made a statement on here and I said, I'm perfect. I've had a few people say, you really think you are? Yeah, I do. I don't think I'm perfect the way you're thinking I'm perfect. But I'm perfect. I am everything God made me to be, and so are you. And my righteousness is not dependent on my righteousness. I am dependent upon the righteousness of God, and the righteousness of God is perfect righteousness. So because I have the gift of the righteousness of God, I can look at you and say, I am not a sinner, I am a saint of God, I am an heir of God, I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ, I'm a child of God, and Jesus and I are blood brothers. Yeah. Why? Because my gifts and my sacrifices can't make me perfect. Cannot make me perfect. Where? In regard to conscience. Now watch this. Gifts and sacrifices, we're anxious to do that so many times. We want to give a gift or do a sacrifice. But he is saying they can't make you perfect in conscience. Say that with me. Perfect in conscience. Listen to me. It's my conscience that's got to come to rest. Now look here at verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience? Everybody say, clean your conscience. Look at me and listen just a moment. A Hebrew in the Old Testament would go down once a year to the temple and he would offer a bull or an ox, a lamb, a goat, a turtle dove. He would offer that offering once a year for his sin. Now listen to me. And he would walk out of the temple having made the offering of a bull or a goat or a lamb, he would walk out of there after having made that offer, knowing in his conscience, I'm good for the next year. I don't have to worry about sinning because I've offered and the blood has been shed, and he would leave there with a clear conscience. We come to church and we hear about the righteousness of God and the gift of righteousness and the grace of God and the mercy of God and the love of God, and we don't get off the parking lot without going, well, I need to pray more. I need to read more. I need to fast more. I need to do more. And we begin to talk about what we do, what we do, what we know, what we have, and we begin depending on us. Under the old covenant, when they went to the temple and they offered the blood of an animal, they left there thinking, hey, I'm good for a year. Are you with me? His conscience was clear. Some of you, your conscience eats you up. Oh, I know I'm talking to you. I'm talking to me and you. Yeah, it's all of us that's been raised in active righteousness. Yeah, we got to do it. So our conscience goes, oh, you shouldn't have had that thought. Do you know, if you don't want to have any negative thoughts, you need to quarantine yourself from everybody, and especially from your family. Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, help me, Lord. Please, please, listen to me. Will y'all hear me say this? If we, Rhema Christian Center, if we, the body of Christ, if we, the children of God, are going to accomplish what God has for us to accomplish, we must understand the difference between active righteousness and passive righteousness, and we've got to quit depending on our righteousness and start living by the righteousness of God. That's what Paul was talking about when he said, the just shall live by faith. Faith in what? Faith in the righteousness of God. My conscience is clear. I'm perfect. Yeah. Well, you know that you had a dirty thought. How do you know that unless you said something to me? Well, you know that you don't do everything perfect. And I'm not depending on what I do or don't do. I'm depending on the righteousness of God that was given to me. You know, I remember, I remember when I got my first Lexus. A friend of mine, we went on a golf trip together, and they took me on the golf trip with them because I was the DD. Y'all know what the DD is? The designated driver. They said, we got to trust the preacher. We're going to Alabama. So they trusted me. We get to Alabama, and one of the guys with us buys a Lexus. And he says to me, you're the driver. I'm driving this new Lexus, and I'm thinking, this is the greatest car I've ever driven in my life. I bragged on it and bragged on it and bragged on it. That had cruise control. This is way back in 2002. It had the radar cruise control. You'd come up to a car and it'd slow down and keep us right distance away from it. And I'm sitting there thinking, man. Well, a few years later, he decided he was going to sell that car. And he called me on the phone and he said, you need to buy this Lexus. I'll sell it to you for what I owe on it. I said, listen, unless the Lord tells you to give that to Rhema Christian Center for me to drive, I'm perfectly happy with my car. He called me back a few minutes later and he said, I've talked to my accountant and I can sell it to you for a little bit less than I owe and I can work something out. I said, did you hear what I said a while ago? Unless you decide you want to give me that car, I don't want it. I said, I have not had a car payment in years and I'm not going to take on one now. All right, bye. Hung up on me. 15 minutes later, he called and said, we're going to do it. I found out a way I can do this and it's better for me. I'm going to just gift it. So I started driving a Lexus. People would say, oh man, the preacher's got a Lexus. And I looked at him and they said, how did you do that? I said, it's a gift. A friend of mine gave this to me to drive. You had to do something. I said, yeah, I guess I did. He knows I love him. But I loved him before he ever gave me the Lexus. And you know what? I believe he loved me because he gave me the Lexus. Well, what'd you do? Nothing. Pastor, how do you get the gift of righteousness? Believe. You got it. See, the first time he called me and the first time I got behind the wheel of that car, I was believing that one of these days I'm going to have one just like this. I was believing. From the first day I drove it before he did. I believed and I received. Listen to me. In passive righteousness, the only possibility of my conscience coming to rest is when I come to the place that I'm depending on what Christ did for me. I'm no longer depending on me. In the book of Philippians chapter 3, verse 9 says, watch this, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. I know my time's gone, but I want you to hear me. Brian, I hope you're listening to me right now. I want you all to hear this when I say to you, Christ has become our righteousness because he is the righteousness of God. In a nutshell, Jesus came, he lived, he died, he became sin, and he shed his blood, and he got up from the grave, and he went into the presence of God, and Jesus entered into a covenant with God the Father, and he brought the Ten Commandments that he abided by every one of them. He brought his blood for the sins of the world, and he came into the presence of God the Father, and he said, it is finished. Here it is. It's a done deal. It's a accomplished. Now listen to me. You and I don't have a covenant with God. Jesus does. Wasn't my blood that was shed. Wasn't your blood that was shed. Jesus said, "Now, Father, I'm going to go love them and have a relationship with them so that what I've done, everyone who comes into the family will have the same covenant relationship that you and I have." You and I have the same covenant that Jesus has because it's His covenant with God the Father. Why do you think He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me"? Look at me. If you're depending on you to get to the Father, you don't have access apart from Jesus Christ. He's the one who went into the most holy place, tore the rent the veil in two, and gave you and I divine access. You need to receive that access today. You need to receive what Jesus did today. Quit depending on you and start depending on Him. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this privilege today to honor You and Your word. Lord, I am honored that I can participate in Your righteousness. Lord, I realize my righteousness just doesn't cut it, but Your righteousness, the righteousness of God, is great. Help me, Lord, today I pray in Jesus' name, amen.